Welcome in to Slapshot Radio on Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5, The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. The Preds are on the verge of punching their ticket to the playoffs as they begin the final three games of the regular season. We're going to talk all things hockey with the hockey renaissance man, one of our favorite guests from Sportsnet, Jeff Merrick, going to join us. And you know what? We can't have one favorite guest without having another favorite guest. The beat writer for the Columbus Blue Jackets for The Athletic, man, he wrote a really fascinating piece that dropped yesterday on The Athletic. Aaron Portsline joining us. It's all brought to you by day one sponsor, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, the largest wine and spirit store in Middle Tennessee, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits, and our friends at Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries Nashville with three locally owned and operated locations in Middle Tennessee. And of course, the man, Carter Church, with KW Murfreesboro, your real estate expert. I'm Paul McCann, our co-host and former NHL coach and player Brent Peterson, Preds insider Zach McCann, all with us tonight. And guys, if I told you in the middle of February that the Predators would be poised to clinch a playoff spot, you both would probably have pulled out the rubber room and the jacket that ties around in the back. But here we are after an incredible run. These Nashville Predators are on the verge, Brent.
Yeah, and there's a lot of reasons for it. I know that we had 12 players come in new this year, and six of them were rookies, and they all contributed after we had the bad start. And we were forced to make those moves because they needed to. Everybody was worried about, bringing in the rookies and getting them playing and having to rebuild and everything. They just played right into the plays. The players came together, and UC played great. And the power play was better, and the penalty kill, everything was better about the team. But they just looked like they enjoyed hockey more, and that's why they're there. I never thought they could win 10 in a row or 10, 9 in a row like they did. But they did, and they did like St. Louis did a couple of years ago, and they did a lot of teams have done to make it to the finals. So I'm not saying they're going to make it to the finals, but it's good to see that they have some kind of a good feeling about themselves.
Well, you know what? And Zach, I find it fascinating that this is a team that's going to come in positioned similarly to the St. Louis Blues a couple of years ago, similarly to the Nashville Predators in 2017, not expected to be here. Not quite the 16 seed in the playoffs like they were in 2017, but certainly an unexpected appearance, especially when you look at the start this team got off to.
Hey, I ain't ready to crown them yet, but I certainly do think that what they've done is impressive. I think there's really one reason why they're in this position, and that is because UC Saros has been the best player in the NHL not named Connor McDavid over the last few months. And you could honestly make the argument he's probably more important to his team than McDavid is to right now. And you look at the way that this team has been playing in front of him, the really fascinating thing that the Predators have done is this team changed its identity on the fly, which is fascinating to see. You don't often see teams be able to do that, especially without a wholesale change, either in personnel or in coaching.
Well, I think you had some players that started feeling comfortable in that role. I mean, you brought in some veteran talent to augment, which, some people were happy about, some people weren't. But you look at the mix of players, Coach, and I don't know if it's a matter of changing their identity or finding their identity, because if you look at the first 5-6 weeks of the season, this team had no identity. They didn't know what kind of team they were. And I think they certainly found it right around the end of February.
Well, I think they had good enough hockey minds and hockey bodies to know that what they were doing wasn't working at all. And now they had to do something different. And they listened to John, and he wanted some D-zone coverage and play. We still play too much in our own end. But we played the whole game in our own end before that, before we changed. Now we're getting some – people are starting to finish. We said all year that was starting to – Crispy goes on the air and on every night. He goes, "You got to finish. We got to finish. We got to finish." He's right. We weren't finishing anything. We were out shooting teams at times and didn't get any finish at all. And so we got some finish. We got some balance on our lines. The guys got to know each other. They got to know their coaches. They finally came together, and it's just been great to see.
You look at this team. I mean, let's lay it out right off the bat. Preds win, Dallas losing regulation, game over, Preds clinch the fourth spot. It's as simple as that. Now, should Dallas, you know, get to overtime again, as they've done God knows how many times, I mean, if you look at the team in a win-loss perspective, I mean, you're looking at a team that is still in playoff contention that is 21 wins, 31 losses, 14 of them in overtime, and it's the only reason they're even sniffing the playoffs right now. Now, look, I haven't been a critic of the loser point, but a season like this kind of pushes me in that direction because you look at Columbus, they've had 12 overtime losses and they're at the bottom of the division. I don't know. You know, the three-point games have never really bothered me. I think this is the first season that it's kind of bugged me a little bit because, I mean, in a 56-game series, a 56-game season, with 14 overtime losses, and it wouldn't surprise me if there's a couple more over the next couple of over the next week. It makes me question it, Zach. It makes me question whether this is the right thing to do for the National Hockey League.
I think in this format, it's amplified even more because these aren't just, you know, 4 3-point games. These are all divisional games that are going to OT, which makes it that much more critical. I do think it's not as big of a problem in the regular format that the NHL is used to over the course of an 82-game season. But yes, I mean, I think it's not unfair to say that it's been fairly ridiculous. Now, at the same time, it's a pretty gimmicky format with 3-on-3 and with the shootout anyway. It's not necessarily what you would call real hockey. And if we looked at it from a tie perspective, just after overtime, or not even going into overtime, just at the end of the game, you're tied, then the Predators are right where they are and the Dallas Stars are right where they are and everything is still the same at that rate.
Not sure about that, though, because when you look at, you know,
the numbers bear it out from the Predators' overtime and shootout losses.
Okay. Well, you know what? You're right. I didn't consider that. You're absolutely right. So, I mean, it's just a fascinating thing to look at, but I think you're right. With a 56-game season, you know, you've got, you know, 12 overtime losses for Dallas, 14 for Dallas, 12 for Columbus, and nobody else is in double digits.
Right.
So it looks like it's probably, an abnormality as that goes. Coach, I want to turn the attention away from the Predators right now, and I want to turn the attention to the Department of Player Safety that is under fire one more time. Tom Wilson of the Washington Capitals breaks stupid again. And literally puts Artemi Panarin out for the rest of the season in a hit that, in real time, as I looked at it, I have to be honest, I looked at it and said it was a hockey play. But I also looked at it from a perspective of, gosh, that's Tom Wilson. And you know what? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Coach.
Five times. This is his fifth time. He's been, not just like he's a new guy in the league that nobody knows about. He's been suspended or fined five times in the last few years, and he's a repeat offender. And I just think that we get so many calls from the league, from the the people down there that make these decisions. I don't want to say who they are, but everybody knows who they are. But anyways,
they are who we think they are.
Say what they are, but the New York Rangers certainly have no problem saying
that's
who
right.
They are.
Oh my! And if you didn't
they came
see
out with a manifesto there, didn't they?
Yeah, if you didn't see it, Zach, tell them about what the Rangers posted to Twitter just about an hour ago.
Well, the Rangers made an official statement on all of their team social accounts condemning the attack on Artemi Panarin, which, I mean, I'm using their words, using phrases like horrifying violence, repeat offender, and that George Parros should be removed from his office as a dereliction of duty to the sport. I mean, this was in no uncertain terms. You have an original six team, one of the highest rated or highest value just by dollar amounts franchises in the entire league coming after the NHL in this, who are most likely going to be fined more for this tweet than Tom Wilson was fined for assaulting Artemi Panarin and Pavel Buzanovic.
That's because NHLPA has set the limit at $5,000, which is asinine. Yeah. But
and who's the NHLPA rep for the Capitals? One Tom Wilson.
Well, you know, the fox is watching the hen house. I mean, I think that sometimes, I think we could all agree that I think sometimes the Tom Wilson thing gets a little bit of an overreaction. And I look at, I don't know if there is a team in the league that wouldn't take him to think they could control him.
Well, they take anybody to take him. He's not controllable. He's very coachable, very controllable. But he just loses it when he gets on the ice once in a while. I guess that's not controllable, but he just hits. He came back from a suspension earlier in the year, and I watched the first game back, and he was still hitting guys from behind. Guys would turn their back and slam him into the wall. He likes to hit. He's a good player. He's turned into a great player for the Capitals, but he's reckless.
Reckless. I'm going to use a phrase that I heard come out of your mouth quite a few times in my younger years. If everyone wanted to jump off of a bridge, would you want to do that too?
I never said anything that cliche. Come on. No.
That's how I feel about Tom Wilson, because sure, yes, every GM would take him, but a lot of GMs, you know, kept signing a lot of the same dumb coaches and dumb fourth liners to contracts too. So I don't look at them as the most brilliant minds in the sport either. I mean, yes, Tom Wilson can score goals, but Tom Wilson is going to cost you games. He's going to cost you money. And this is a case where do not be surprised. The next minuscule thing that Tom Wilson does is going to get absolutely hammered by the league next time.
But I think that points to a different problem, though.
Oh, I mean, it's just if the problem is the owners control everything that is going on with the league, and they want some of that within the league. And when Brendan Shanahan was in charge of player safety and laying out actual suspensions for people, the owners and GMs all hated it. And so they overcorrected. And now we have this situation set in quotation marks.
Yep. Going back and forth, no question. Well, we'll talk to Jeff Merrick about this in our next segment as well. We're just getting started here on Slapshot Radio and ESPN 102.5 The Game. You know, they've been with us since day one of the show. The premier sponsor of Slapshot Radio, Doctors Aileen Kruger and Tyler Boland over at Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. Man, what a great staff, comfortable environment, really, really easy to get your dental needs taken care of. They've got all the latest in dental technology. You got to check out their website at WeBrightonSmiles.com or call them for an appointment at 615-872-7762. That's 615-872-7762, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. We brighten smiles. Slapshot Radio, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Oh, Kenny on the wheels of steel, bringing him back in. So, we are going to be talking to Sportsnet's Jeff Merrick in just a second. I do want to tell you a little bit about Carter Church from KW Murfreesboro. Now, Carter, I've known him for quite a while as we've worked together with the Predators, and I've seen how Carter's over 20 years of media and marketing experience has driven his proven success as a real estate agent, especially in this hot market that we're dealing with right now. You need Carter on your team. Call Carter today at 615-429-2044. That's 615-429-2044. Carter Church is your real estate professional. If you're buying or if you're selling, you got to call Carter today. So, boys, I can't wait to ask Jeff about this whole Tom Wilson situation. Kenny, we got Jeff? Not yet. Okay. So, guys, okay. So, you know what? We're going to ask him right now, as a matter of fact. Coming to the microphone, I'm telling you what, one of our first guests here on Slapshot Radio over 14 seasons ago, and he's been with us every season since, certainly one of our favorites from Sportsnet, the one and only Jeff Merrick. Jeff, welcome back to Slapshot Radio.
I'm really impressed that you read that exactly word for word as I wrote it up. Thank you so much for that, Paul.
No problem. The invoice is on the way. So, Jeff, we've been first off, if
what's,
you haven't,
what's the great line? There's no I in team, but there's two I's in invoice.
Or I like the one, there's no I in team, but there is a me anyway. So Jeff, we were talking before the break about the whole Tom Wilson situation, and you know, it seems like half the league is freaking out. The other half of the league is going, "Oh, come on, what's the big deal?" Wondering where you come down on this.
So in situations like this, I try to go as bird's eye as I can, like right down sort of in the event itself. It's a horrible looking play that could have had some major league consequences for Artemi Panarin and would have forced the game to really ask itself a lot of questions. There's enough in there to both, it's a weird situation because if you just look at the sort of spirit of rules or what rules are supposed to do, there's enough to do something with Tom Wilson in there. But if you just go by the rule book itself and you look at, you know, the nature of scrums and what happens in fights, you look at it and you could say, well, to your other point, maybe it's not that big of a deal. But the position that I've taken on this one is it's kind of bird's eye, and that and work with me on this one because it may take a while for me to spit it out.
Okay.
I started watching hockey when I was probably 5 years old. I'm 51 years old now. I'm not the demographic that the NHL needs to reach. Like I grew up in an era, you know, the 70s specifically in the 80s. Where that was just like a regular Monday night or a regular Tuesday night. Like that's just, hey, rock and roll hockey. Hey, you bit off more than you can chew, Panera, and now you're going to have to deal with it. Like that's the era that I grew up in. So that part of me looks at that event and says, well, what's the big deal here? Hockey happened, and that's what hockey is. But then I remind myself that, you know, you don't need to buy Jeff Merrick. Like, I've been a fan of the sport my whole life, and I'm going to be a fan of the sport my entire life, no matter what it looks like. Like, I'm going to be watching hockey until I've got one foot in the grave and the other foot on a banana peel. Like, that's where I'm at with hockey. You don't have to reach me. But who you have to reach are younger fans, and you have to reach a younger demographic and that next wave of people that are going to buy season tickets, that are going to be attracted to the game, that are going to find something, you know, wonderful about the game and marvel at the skill set of the players and, you know, buy the seats and buy the merchandise and go to the events and watch on television and radio and whatever digital platforms we come up with to present these things. Those are the people that if you're the NHL, you need to reach. And unlike my generation when we were that age, there doesn't seem to be an appetite for this type of behavior. Like the newer fans that are coming to hockey, and you see it played out on Twitter, and you saw it played out on Twitter, which, again, I know isn't the most scientific way to judge events, but it's what we have. You saw this played out last night and how, you know, generally there is disgust, and disgust specifically from that demographic that the NHL is trying to reach. Like, I know a lot of people will just shrug off or, oh, you haven't been a hockey fan long enough. Your opinion doesn't matter. Those, to me, are the opinions that should matter more than anybody else because these are new fans we're trying to bring into the game. Don't worry about my opinion or what I thought of the play. I've been watching this thing for too long in a lot of ways to really matter. People whose opinions matter, maybe the NHL, are the new fans that are the soon-to-be fans that are having a look at this and seeing this last night or seeing it on the highlights and saying, do I really want to be a part of this? Do I want to be a part of a league where that play is okay and that play is condoned? So that's the perspective that I've taken on it. It's more of a bird's eye, you know, what do we want to achieve here in this game? And not so much did what, you know, what he right to do what he did or what he wrong to do what he did. Like, it's a dangerous play. I think that Tom Wilson in that situation, you know, needs to recognize who he's with. And, you know, he's grabbing Artemi Panarin here, right? Like, he's not grabbing, you know, Chris Kreider. Like, he's not grabbing Brendan Smith. Like, he's not grabbing a big guy on that team. He's grabbing Artemi Panarin and trying to get Panarin off of him. Like, if that was the Dano Chara, and this is the difference between the two, Chara's the toughest player in the NHL, hands down. And in that situation, Chara would have recognized it was Panarin and held him. Maybe pinned him up against the boards or maybe just bear hugged him, but he would have held him. He wouldn't have grabbed him and thrown him down on the ice violently. That is the difference between a player like Dano Chara and a player like Tom Wilson.
You make a great point. And what's really funny is just about 2.5 hours ago, your comment was played out as Zach and I discussed this and I'm looking at it, and I'm looking at the thing as a guy that grew up watching the Broad Street Bullies, cheering for Dave Schultz, you know, and I looked at it and I'm like, that's nothing.
You know? I looked at the hit, kind of like, you know, Potter Stewart looks at pornography, and I know a bad hit when I see one.
Yeah, and yeah. It, you know, it's interesting. Yeah. I mean, it's a great point that you make there, Jeff. It really is. We're on the line with Jeff Merrick from Sportsnet, one of our favorite guests here on Slapshot Radio. Zach, what do you got for Jeff?
You know, Jeff, one of the big things, of course, hey, always good to talk to you, good sir. You know, one of the things that is exciting in the entirety of Nashville right now is the play of UC Soros. How is he being looked at in the hockey mecca that is Toronto and Sportsnet?
Right now, you can make the argument over the past, month and a half, he's been the best goaltender in the NHL. And what he's been able to do for the Nashville Predators, and I know he'll always, you know, dodge and deflect and, you know, oh, it's the team. It's a remarkable story. Like, every year there, it seems, Zach, that there's that story of the one team that's out of it and has this amazing run and comes back and tucks themselves into a playoff position. And, of course, the most recent obvious one was the St. Louis Blues, and we all pointed at Jordan Binnington and said, what a performance. Listen, man, I think we're saying the same thing about UC Soros right now. And here's, you know, it's interesting, too, because, you know, by, and I love stories like this, because by traditional, I shouldn't say traditional, by new school standards of how big you have to be to play this position, UC Soros is a very small goaltender. Right, like there's three guys that are 6 feet tall in the NHL that play net, and he's one of, like, he's a small dude, he's a smaller guy, and what he's been able to do for the Nashville Predators is nothing short of outstanding. Like, there have been some other great contributions all the way there, but without UC Soros, none of this is possible. You know, we've talked about the old saying before, you know, various times when we've all got together here on the show, and that's, if you have the goaltender at 70% of your team, and if you don't, it's 100%. UC Soros proves that, because no matter what Nashville would have been able to do in the last 2 months, if they didn't get this goaltending, it all would have been for naught. He is, well, far and away the team's MVP, and it's not even close.
You know, and there's even been some chat of using the V word in here as a possible dark horse Vezina candidate. And in a shortened 56-game season, I mean, you look at the run he's been on, you know. Now, do I think that happens? Probably not. But it's one of those things that you wonder if he sneaks in there in the, you know, in the top four or five voting on that. I'm not sure if he's done this long enough and has gotten the publicity to be able to do that. But it would be an interesting take on that. Brent, what do you got for Jeff?
Hey, Jeff, good to talk to you again.
Hey, Brent, how you doing, pal?
Good. I just wondered who you thought. Like, we've got four teams in every division winning out here. And who do you think is going to get in the Canadian division? Because I know that Montreal sort of got their things going, but we've got so many, like our division. We're the fourth place team. The other division is Islanders, the fourth place team. That's some pretty good teams we have to play against. Like, I looked at the stats that are the whole league today, and they got. We got three of the top four teams in the whole entire NHL in our division. So it's going to be a tough go no matter who you're playing, no matter if you're fourth or first or second or third or whatever. It's going to be a tough go, isn't it?
It sure is. Like, the thing about the Centralists, you know this a lot better than I do. I mean, that's a murderer's row, right? I mean, what's your reward for getting into the playoffs with, like, Nashville and Dallas fighting it out together? What's your reward? You're playing either, you know, Carolina or Florida, outside chance, though probably not the Tampa Bay Lightning. They just happen to be the defending Stanley Cup champions. You can make the case strongly that Carolina could win the Stanley Cup. You can make the case that Tampa Bay Lightning could repeat. Like, Central's tough. Like, going into this season, I know a lot of us looked at the East and said, oof, that's going to be the toughest division. And listen, it is. And there's, you know, one surprise team that's out, and that's the Philadelphia Flyers. Listen, many people, myself included, had Philadelphia winning that division. We all thought the Rangers would do better, and I don't know any teams that have a plus 25 goal differential that will not make the playoffs, but hello, New York Rangers, and that's, that East division is real tough. I'll tell you, man, the Scotia North Division is a weird one. I got a lot of flack at the beginning of the season, mainly from Montreal Canadiens fans and Vancouver Canucks fans, who were the most vocal about it, when I said, what's going to happen in the Scotia North is it's going to be Toronto and then everybody else. Like, Toronto seemed to me like the only lock. And, you know, at times they've gone on losing streaks and, you know, teams have come close. Winnipeg flirted a little bit. Edmonton, beginning of the season, Montreal was on top. But by and large, from stem to stern, the Toronto Maple Leafs have been the class of the Scotia North Division. And that's the way that it's ended up. At the beginning of the season, like, you could have made the case for the Vancouver Canucks being in the playoffs, the Calgary Flames being in the playoffs. We knew there were going to be two really good teams out, and that turns out to be Calgary and Vancouver. But the battle right now is, you know, who's going to come in third? Who's going to face off against Edmonton, and who's going to face off against Toronto? And the question about fourth here, if you're fourth, you're facing off against the Maple Leafs. And if I'm Toronto, Brent, I do not want to face Winnipeg. Ehlers comes back for the postseason. He's been a Leaf killer. And I refuse to believe that Connor Hellebuyck is going to be this bad for much longer. Montreal has a hard time scoring. I get that. That might be a 2-foot putt for Toronto if they meet them in the first round. But if I'm the Maple Leafs, I want no part of the Winnipeg Jets at all.
Guys, we could keep this going for God knows how long. One of these days, I'm just going to get smart and schedule you for two segments, Jeff. I really appreciate you, you know, taking the time with us. We certainly always enjoy you. And, man, you got to check him out at sportsnet.ca. I mean, he's all over the place. The reason why we're able to get him is that he's on TV on Wednesday night. We had to wait for a Tuesday show to be able to get Jeff on here. We certainly appreciate you doing it. And also, we want to make sure you check out the 31 Thoughts podcast that he does with Elliot Friedman. I'm telling you what, must listen hockey right there. And you check out sportsnet.ca to get that podcast. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us. You be good, sir. Stay safe. And you guys, we'll be talking to you down the line. We'll definitely have you on during the playoffs.
Always the highlight of my week when I get to talk to you, gentlemen. And I'll tell you what, from someone who can barely, you know, leave his house other than to go to work, it is really nice to see fans in a hockey arena right now. Trust me, we miss it up here. We miss it up here.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely. He's Jeff Merrick from Sportsnet, and we'll be right back here on Slapshot Radio with Aaron Portsline of The Athletic. You stay tuned right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. See everyone all the way, all across Smashville, just banging their head right now. Kenny pulling out the queen on Slapshot Radio, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Guys, we got to talk about this because a really fascinating article in the Athletic regarding the Columbus Blue Jackets by our next guest, Zach. Why don't you give us just a little bit about that article, and then we'll bring on Aaron.
Absolutely. You know, Aaron wrote a fascinating think piece on just the city of Columbus and why they have the mindset that a lot of players just don't seem to either want to come or stay. They have a lot of hard time holding on to RFAs. And so what Aaron did was he talked to three players under the condition of anonymity, which I know I just butchered how to say that word. But if you'd like to look at the article, he talks about to these players just what their thoughts are on the city of Columbus and why it seems they seem to have those struggles as an organization, either holding on to players or why top-tier free agents don't seem to want to come to that city.
Well, as we finish the season series with Columbus, whether temporary or not, it's been good to have him back in the Central Division. Also good to talk to our good friend from The Athletic, Aaron Portsline. Aaron, welcome back to Slapshot Radio.
Well, thanks, man. It's good to be with you. And it is the result of not certainly been to Columbus' liking. But it is nice to have Nashville back in the conference again. I only wish we were traveling there. That's
my. I was going to say the problem is you're not traveling with a team. Exactly. But fascinating, really fascinating piece on the team, because it does make you wonder. You look, you know, and you mentioned specifically, you know, what was the reason why, Pierre-Luc Dubois was so desperate to leave Columbus. And while, you know, you didn't get any information on that, talking to these three different players, was there a theme that really stuck out amongst the players that you spoke to?
Yeah, you know, that's the really tough part with all of this, and I'll answer your question in a second. So often, especially from the outside, the people leaving all gets lumped into one category. Well, Matt Duchene is a perfect example. He's in Nashville now. Columbus didn't try to sign him. Now, I'm not saying he would have signed here if they tried, but Matt Duchene loved it here, was surprised by how much he loved it. He just really wanted to be in Nashville, and the Blue Jackets wanted that extra first-round pick back, so they didn't attempt to sign him. So that's not really an example of a guy. Panarin wanted to live in New York. He's off. He's gone. They didn't want to spend $10 million on Sergei Bobrovsky. That seems to be a pretty good choice.
I was going to say, in retrospect, but, yeah, good call.
Yeah, that's a good one. But, yeah, they've had some problems, and this season has been knocked off of its mooring from the very earliest Dubois debacle. I think this team was made significantly lesser just a couple months earlier than that with the Josh Anderson trade to Montreal. It's changed the look of this team. You can't take 2 6'3", 220-pound guys out of your lineup and expect to play the same way. So why is this happening? I think if there's an overarching reason, I don't know if there's a reason or if it's the opinion of these players is probably the fairest way to say it. It's that this is a marketplace. It's not a bad marketplace by any stretch. People who are here typically love it. But in order to sell Columbus to people who don't know it, you have to have a reputation of doing something special, or you have to overpay. You have to do something, or you have to win. You have to elevate the value of the coolness of that sweater, of the city, whatever it is. Look, is Pittsburgh a dramatically better city than Columbus? I don't think so. I don't think most people think it is. But the Penguins have won cups. The Penguins have Crosby and Malkin. That is a sweater that is, you pull it over your head and you just feel different. It's the Pittsburgh Penguins sweater. Can Columbus compete just geographically with New York, with Florida, with L.A., with Chicago, Toronto, Montreal? No, they can't. I mean, if there are things on the menu in those cities that just aren't available in Columbus. But is it that different from a ton of other cities? And I'll put Nashville in there, too. I think Columbus can be held on par there. Is it much different than St. Louis? It's not. But it has to handle its business in a way that makes people feel special, that makes them feel wanted. And the overarching opinion of the people that we spoke to was that sometimes that feeling is not pushed across the table during the negotiations, that it's very much a business transactional relationship, which for young guys can be hard to swallow sometimes.
We are on the line with Aaron Portsline of The Athletic. Coach, do you have a question for Aaron?
Hey, Aaron, Brent Peterson, nice talking to you again. I just wanted to ask you, maybe I shouldn't ask you, but did Torch Dame come up or the general manager come up to that situation there when you interviewed those people?
Well, I heard you ask about Tortorella. Was the other one Jarmo Kekalainen?
Yeah, he's doing all the negotiating.
Yeah.
I just if Torch Dame.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, you know, when you're doing an interview with former players, you have to ask about Torch. and because there's strong opinions that abound, but I have to tell you, it's the response I kind of expected. It's the response that, you know, most people would be surprised by, I guess. Most of the guys love the man and admired his coaching. There are times, of course, where they wanted to kill him. But the one thing that just shines through with so many people that talk about him is how every coach talks about accountability and fairness and not caring where a guy was drafted or how much they make, yada yada. And John Tortorella is the one guy that lives that, and it can be hard to digest. It can be very hard to digest. The flip side of that, one guy was asked, what's the first thing you did if you were hired in an executive capacity with the Blue Jackets? And he said, well, I hate to be honest, but it would be fire John Tortorella. And he followed that up by saying, I wish I had him as my coach when I was 20 years old. I could have used him when I was 20 years old. But it's reached a point in Columbus where guys, younger players especially, don't want to play such a difficult system for such a relentless coach. Fair answer. Well,
the reason why I asked was because I believe in Torch, because he always seems to, you know, get himself in trouble with what he says and does. But I think everything he does is right, is the right way to do it. And sometimes people don't want to hear that. And I just wanted to throw that in because I think Torch is a great coach. He's well admired by everybody. He's a hard man to play for. But it's the right way to do it, so you got to do it right. And he doesn't believe in any doing it. He has no black and white in him.
He has no. You're exactly right. And there's a lot to really like about that guy. We may be coming into the final days of him with the Blue Jackets organization, and it's my job, I guess, I'm going to remind people here in the next few days what he's meant to this organization. And as bad as the seasons has been for everybody, there's a huge debt owed to him because he's helped put this franchise on a map like nobody else could.
No question about that. We're on the line with Aaron Portsline from the Athletic, Columbus Blue Jackets beat writer. Zach?
You know, Aaron, one of the things that I found fascinating about your article is that most people, of course, would jump to Tortorella as the problem. But as I gleaned through your piece, it seemed that the hardball negotiating tactics of Jarmo Kekäläinen in the general manager position seemed to be really hampering this organization. Is that a fair criticism to levy at the general manager of the Blue Jackets?
Well, I'll say this, that those guys have been in the chair on the other side of the table, so to speak. I'll leave them to their opinions. I think they have every right to weigh in like that. I've not been on the other side. You hear stories. You know, Josh Anderson's relationship with the team forever changed after he went through his RFA negotiation. That's a big part of what the players highlighted. The one part to me that was chilling is the players after a season where the Blue Jackets were very successful and the players were in the dressing room after the exit meetings thinking, well, this is a pretty good group we've got here, guys. They're going to build upon this and we could really be looking at something. And they came out of their exit meeting almost dumbfounded with the blunt reality that they weren't coming back. And they were basically told to look for work elsewhere that thank them for their service and be moving on. And one guy said, I was sad as hell because I thought we had a really good thing going and I thought we could have kept it going. And they moved on. They have traded a lot of veteran players, moved a lot of veteran players out of the way for young players, expecting those young players to deliver. They've always been one of the youngest teams in the league. And it just hasn't served them well and it's catching up to them now.
It's Aaron Portsline from The Athletic. Aaron, we are actually past a break, but I wanted to keep this conversation going. We certainly appreciate you taking the time. Check out his work on The Athletic. He really does a great job in covering the Blue Jackets. And we're looking forward to tomorrow night's game. It should be another good one. Last night was a barn burner, and I have a funny feeling tomorrow night's going to be the same thing.
Yeah, that's great. Guys, I always appreciate being with you. Thanks for your time, as always.
All righty, Aaron Portsline from The Athletic, and we will be right back to close it out right here on Slapshot Radio, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Paul McCann, Zach McCann, Brent Peterson coming at you in the rocking chair of the Hockey Block Penalty Box Radio up in about 10 minutes here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Fascinating interview with Aaron Portsline, and guys, the interesting piece, you read the article, you also listen to Aaron Portsline talk about it. I mean, you know, there seems to be, look, I don't think David Poile is a non-tough negotiator because he tries to get the best deal humanly possible. You never hear that kind of things about David Poile, Zach, that you heard in that was quoted in this piece about Jarmo Kekäläinen.
You want Columbus to be known for Jenny's Ice Cream and Nationwide Insurance. You don't want it to be known as a place of hardline negotiations where your contract goes to die. And with a lot of pending RFAs and UFAs, including a Seth Jones and a Zach Werenski, boy, is this not what you want to come out. If you're ownership, you have to be sweating bullets after this article.
And again, you saw, and Brett, you talked about it a little bit. I mean, one of the players in there said the first thing I'd do is fire Torts. I'd love to play for him in my 20s, but not now. I mean, Brett, you know John Tortorella. I mean, you know, this is a, you know, personally, I think this is the perfect place for John Tortorella. He doesn't have to deal with a huge media like he had to deal with in Vancouver or New York. And, you know, and I think he's shown some success with this. You know, as a coach, he's always one of the guys that I've liked.
Torres is a great guy. He called up one day and he asked for Barry Trotz. And I picked Barry's phone up. Barry was doing something. He says, "Who's this?" "This is Brent Peterson." "Hey, Brent Peterson, you better beat that Parkinson. You better beat it. You got to beat that Parkinson. You got to beat it." He was going to be a pep talk on the phone. So, I mean, Torts is a great guy. He's a good coach. He's won the Stanley Cup before. He's always coached the kind of Barry Trotz's teams that we had earlier, and always coached a lower place team or less talented team, I should say. And he's always got the most out of them. And I just think that I think it's more negotiations with contracts that the players are worried about, and they have to be paid. David has come to his own admission that he has to keep up with the times, and you have to pay the money to the players. And if you're wrong at all, you get some players that don't put out or do the things they need to do. But you still have to sign people, and if they're not going to want to sign people, nobody's going to want to go there at all. So it's a tough situation for them.
It's going to be fascinating to watch over this offseason, that's for sure. So let's turn our attention. We've only got a few minutes left. Let's turn our attention to tomorrow night. You know, what is this, critical game number 5 in a row? if you look at this, I mean, I've said this for the past probably week and a half. I really don't want to go into the weekend having to get at least a point. And that can happen tomorrow. You know, the Preds win, Dallas loses in Tampa Bay, which is a good possibility. Loses in regulation, then the Preds clinch. Brent, what did you like about last night's game? What did you not like about last night's game?
I thought we played very well the first two periods, and then in the third period we just sort of said we're better than them. Sort of like Barry Trotz's team was ahead of Buffalo by 3 goals. And they lost. They got scored on 4 goals. We did the same thing. We let our foot off the pedal. And you need to do that in the NHL. I don't care who you're playing. We've said it time and time again. It's a great league. And teams are going to just beat you if you take your foot off their necks or take your foot off the pedal. And that's what I thought we did as a team. And luckily, we had some great plays and a great place to win the game at the end there. But it was a fact of being – we played so hard. We're up 3-0. It's going to be easy to get the 2 points. And we just didn't know. And we're starting to learn now that we can't do that. We haven't done it too often, but we did it against a lower team that had sold their players off at the deadline and done things like that. So it's a tough situation for it. But I think we'll be fine tomorrow night. I think we're going to win. And I don't know what's going to happen in Tampa Bay, but I think we'll win our game.
Son, when you look at the you know, the game last night, I think Brent absolutely nailed it. But, you know, this is a better team than Columbus. This is a team that's playing better than Columbus. You know, honestly, I think it's just going to take that 60-minute focus instead of 40 and then 3.5.
Oh, if they stay committed, then they should have no problem and take care of business tomorrow. But I do have to disagree with you. I think no matter what happens tomorrow night, you do need to at least get 2 points out of this series upcoming against Carolina, because that is most likely going to be your playoff opponent. And going into a playoff series after being swept by them, and especially if it was the last two games of the season, you need that for your mentality, because I'm sorry, I'm not happy just getting to the playoffs.
No, neither.
I don't want to get there and get embarrassed. I don't think anybody is. So just mentally, you can't go into there having gone 0-8 and then having them kick the pants off of you in the last two games of the season. They're going to walk all over you in the first round. So I think it is absolutely critical that they win one of these games.
I think you make a good point there, and we got to leave it at that. Thank you so much for joining us for Slapshot Radio tonight. We certainly appreciate you. I want to let you know, thank you. to Jeff Marek. Thank you to Aaron Portsline for joining us tonight. Please make sure you check out Jeff on the 31 Thoughts broadcast. Make sure you check out Aaron on The Athletic. We're back next Wednesday night at 7 p.m. with our playoff preview show. A big thank you to our sponsors, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. Cool Springs Wines and Spirits on Moore's Lane in Cool Springs, the largest wine and spirit store in Middle Tennessee. Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries with three locally owned Middle Tennessee locations, and they have furniture in stock and ready to ship. I mean, you don't have to wait 5-6 months. You got to check them out. And of course, our good friend Carter Church with KW Murfreesboro. When you visit one of our sponsors, please make sure you tell them you heard about them on Slapshot Radio and thank them for their support. For our producer, Kenny, our co-host Brent Peterson and Zach McCann, I'm Paul McCann saying good night and good hockey.